If you want to manifest something into your life, you need energy for that. And what is the highest energy in this universe that we have? It is love.
You know, our strap line is inspire change, but it's not just like a gimmick, like we do mean it. Your clients who are, you know, throwing that hook, that inspires somebody else. Like it genuinely does, you know, to see somebody's strength to go through what they're going through and to still do that is inspiring to somebody else. That is applicable to everybody though.
The other day I was telling you, we were driving, me and Kim, and I said, oh, right here in this corner, it's where there was like this 90-year-old couple, and then he dropped something, so I just pulled my car over and got out and helped them pick everything up.
That feeling you get from giving somebody food or helping somebody out when it's raining, whatever it is, whatever small thing it is, I wish that the audience would just give that a go. There's nothing more rewarding.
Trust, hope, vision, purpose, and this is where then things come together.
Welcome back to Inspire Change with Jordan Mulligan. We know there's so many people out there who react and are inspired and motivated in completely different ways, and that's why we'll go all over the place to find all the stories. That's our mission, is to share inspiration from as many different people as possible. So let us know who you want to see next. Today's video was sponsored by Huel, a quick, affordable, nutritionally complete source of food that has everything that your body needs. Use the link in the description for a discount, and I'll talk about these more a little bit later in the video.
I think something we spoke about a lot actually, but never put this terminology on it. And I don't know if you know of it by this terminology, but the law of attraction and how to use the law of attraction to manifest things into reality.
I heard about this terminology before, the law of attraction. I don't know necessarily how you would define it, but as I understand it, in a way, it is about, let's say, how to make something manifest that you want. If this is the case, then for me, starting very easily again, it starts with the smallest area inside of yourself. It starts with the smallest aspect. Let's just take it as the world of thoughts. But the world of thoughts is not graspable. The only one who knows about it is yourself. So wanting to manifest something is now the question, how can you start expressing what you feel deep inside of yourself in such a way that the world of forms start to mirror it? And so what you again therefore want is, it's about harmony. You actually want that something which is sitting inside of you gets into direct resonance with what we have available on the outside. And I don't think there is a magic formula for this. What I know is that 100% hard work helps. Simple like this. So I wouldn't say that just think about it, just make your wishful thinking, just make your prayers, depending on what type of prayers. But having something that you really want, spending your time to already manifest it in the mind as good as you can, meaning make it feelable. Make your thought already start to go into the area of you can feel it. You can feel it, how it has entered your life. This is already a first step of, okay, now it's not just thinking about it, now you even feel it. It maybe is not there material-wise, but you can sense already what type of an energy and in which type of fluctuation within the flow of life actually that wish would put you. Okay, so that means you visualize something maybe, or you go into deep prayer about this thought that you have. Okay, this is what I regard as being a prayer. It's not just talking words. It's about diving in and trying to create that feeling, calling up, cultivating that thought that it really starts to become feelable. So this is one of the initial steps. What we have right now is what you are thinking and what you're feeling already starts to be still in harmony. Okay? And now, practice and continuously and with patience. Stay with it. If it's important to you, stay with it. Keep on cultivating it. Slowly, slowly, but give yourself some time. Everything that happens too quickly, which is changing the status quo too quickly, first of all, it's not helpful for us, and it most of time is also destructive. But if you really want something, I think this is the way. Slowly, steadily, wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly meaning what? There is no doubt there. You are not doubting it. There's no doubt. It just means it hasn't manifested like in the way that it's right in front of the eyes, but just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not there. But why so pure-heartedly? Because only the heart is the one that is, let's say, connecting us humans together. Only the heart is like that area that I would regard as giving the possibility of connecting. The heart is like the highest instrument, if you would say like this, the highest antenna to spread out the connection. And if you are sending from the heart the signals out to the universe that there is something that there is something you would like to receive. I think the best way to express it is when it comes from the heart. So that means because you already have it inside of you, because the heart is the magnet, because it's magnetic, that's why it pulls. That's why it pulls. Yeah, I express it now again, maybe a little bit fluffy again, but it attracts the energy which is surrounding all of us to finally manifest what thought, what emotion, what feeling, and what wish and desire you have inside of that heart. It's pulling it towards you. And this is why now when energy, strong energy, starts to come into your life, well, in order for something to be created, we need a lot of energy. So the ultimate question is always, if you want to manifest something into your life, you need energy for that. And what is the highest energy in this universe that we have? Some people call it sexual energy, or it is love. It is the energy that carries the potential to create life. This is normally what happens when two people come together and then go into a partnership, go into a bond, and create out of love new life. There is no other energy that can create new life. Two people hate each other, how they create new life? Two people are jealous amongst each other, how they create life? No, there's only one thing. And so law of attraction, or however it's called, I think it is based upon these type of thoughts. I don't know specifically, but once you are the magnet, you're pulling something towards you. This goes for all the positive things that you feel during the day or what you're cultivating, but especially like the negative. And I think even, yeah, maybe if you are constantly thinking about, worried about, fearful about something. This fear already went so strong that you feel it on a daily basis. And then you're wondering why it happens. This is also that sentence about the, how you call it, the self-fulfilling prophecy. So self-fulfilling prophecy, law of attraction, for me, I think they belong to the same category right now. It's just when we talk about attraction, we relate it a little bit more to something that's a positive, because people most of the time want to attract something positive. Nobody wants to attract something negative. But if it is negative, well, then it's a prophecy. It's the same. Both of these things coming somehow from the same principle that makes this possible to happen. The yin and the yang. Electric, magnetic. One spreading outwards, one pulling towards. The forces of the universe. The forces upon which our existence, our way of thinking, our way of feeling, our way of acting, our way of behaving is always, always and always based upon. You talk, you bring the message out, you send something out. You send something out, yeah, other people receive it. Some people are electric, other people become magnetic. And this is that constant idea. Of course, I talk in pictures. But as soon as you are able to relate something about your life to this duality, then you know, okay, you are embedded into this way of life as well. You are part of all of this. So it makes sense to figure out for yourself, what is there more? Okay? Then also now, duality is like the very beginning, yeah? It's like yin and yang. This is what people know. Easy way also, now you have the symbol right in front of you. On the one side, the black half fish, on the other side, the white half fish. And now you draw a cross right with through the circle. So you have four areas right now. And there, what do you see? There is a small black area and a large black area. There's a small white area and a white and a large white area. Where the large white area ends, the small black one begins, and vice versa. So the message is, there is not just duality. If you now dive deeper into it, you even see different transition phases. This is now the next step. There is a transition happening in the moment you are reaching a certain valley or a certain peak. If you have reached the top of the mountain, there's only one direction where it will go. Once you know this, once you can sense it in your own life, in your different life areas, how is it professional-wise, in your professional life, where are you standing? Do you have the feeling you are like in small growing mode? Are you already in super high expansion? In which state are you already? Relation-wise, physical-wise, mental health-wise. No matter, there are so many areas where you can actually relate this model now to. But it just gives you an additional idea that, first of all, what is most probable to happen next? Or what are the possibilities that can happen next? Yes, and this is now the part where philosophy, old teachings, I think, can be used for application, but not for knowing. So knowing these things and being able to talk years long about what the philosophy behind it, it's good. These are so-called professors, maybe. But the main part is to find a way to relate all of these teachings into your life. You are the one who is supposed to benefit from these teachings. The ones that wrote it, the ones that delivered all of this, they're not here anymore in this world. They left it here, in case they left it, for you to get the message and make it better than them maybe did it. That's the reason why normally you want to leave something in this world, in order to, let's say, support the upcoming generations to not go through all the mistakes and challenges and difficulties you might have you might had to face. So it's always about your life. It's never about blindly following something just because somebody told you to follow.
If you, you know, if you're depressed or you're struggling and you manage to get out of bed, that's a big win. And I think some people downplay it because they're looking at other people through social media, other people's achievements. But on a day, that could be the Usain Bolt world record for you. You know, and people do need to celebrate that. On the point of the pain of family, other people, it is difficult. And I do see, I see your perspective of you having to hold it together, you know, for all your clients. And that's, I think the way you are is so infectious, because when you're talking about your clients, they're like, let's go. You know, you've put that in these people, like you've installed that into people. And I'm curious, as this one is, I guess like your perspective is better because you've worked with so many people with disabilities and illnesses, but how do you not give empathy and sympathy and just like, you know, go baby people and like let them go at their own pace? Because I've seen some of your videos and you're just as hard, maybe harder with some of these people. Like, you're doing it and there's no discussion about this. You're doing it, you're gonna stand up, you're gonna lift this, you're gonna do whatever it is. And you're really to the point of, you know, you better do this. And your clients have said the same thing as well. Yeah, so how do you not bend into, you know, letting them bending into the empathy and, you know?
I'm a good psychopath. So my strategy is love first, care first. If I know your story, really know your story, know who your family are, know who your friends are, know what your neighbours call you, know your noisy neighbour that you don't like, the silly woman at work that annoys you, that takes your mug, your pet. I need to know your story. And you need to know my story, because once I really know your story and you know mine and we become friends, there's nothing you can do. Because the moment I fully care for someone, there's no going back, brother. Like, if I fully, fully care for you, I mean, you have had many conversations about wanting to do this and become healthier and lose weight and do this and the thing, listing the things that you really want. And me as your friend, and a lot of these guys that I train, I'm the big brother figure. And I'm listening to you and I care for you. And you told me that you want to walk 2 steps. You told me that you want to stand up for 20 seconds. My love for you is so strong that I'm going to get you there whether you like it or not. I'm willing to not risk the friendship, but I'm willing to make the friendship boat wobble in order for us to get out of that rough sea. I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to take that risk, because I guarantee that if we take that risk and we do it, our friendship's going to grow even more, and the love that we've got for each other is going to grow even more. You see what I'm saying? So what a lot of people don't see is the videos are the end product. The videos are just the end product. I've never taken a video twice. I put this shit up, I press record, film. I've never taken a video twice, but what people don't see is the tears before it. What people don't see is the conversations before it. Bro, one of my girls, right? She wants to box. She loves boxing. She knows she can't. She knows she can't get her hands up. Her mobility is so limited. But what she demonstrates is bravery and courage, that you can get 100 men together. They're not as brave as this girl. Because guess what? Bravery to me is, have you got the strength to look at impossible and go, I'm going to give it a go still? She knows she can't throw a left hook. She knows she can't. She knows she can't get that there. She can't get that there. It's impossible. So I'm not going to patronise her and try to make her do it. But I'm going to put that impossible goal in front of her. And to see her still give it 100,000,000%, she's the most wonderful, wonderful human. That she's amazing. The fact that it's impossible, bro. Think about it. But I'm still going to give it a go. But guess what? She gave it a go and she did it. She gave it a go and she did it. And it was just amazing to watch and just be a part of that. And I think this is what the world needs to understand when it comes to me and my work. It's never about, and this is why I didn't film for so many years. I've been doing it a long time and I didn't film because I don't ever want to be even talked about as exploiting anybody. I do it because it's me. Somebody accidentally filmed what I was doing when I first opened my spot. Somebody was filming and they filmed like one of my OAP classes that I've done for 15 years. And they put it out there. Got about 1,000 messages in that one day from people saying, oh, my mum wants to come to that, my granddad. And I seen the power in it. And that's when I started recording and it's just gone crazy and crazy. But people don't realize right now this is needed, man. I had a lady, man. I think she's from the Isle of Man, one of them little weird islands. I shouldn't say weird, but one of them little islands that are over there. She's got many illnesses, man, but there's a NISA, like a news agent, probably 150 meters away. She's never had the courage to walk. She's embarrassed. She's got so many illnesses. She has to phone her daughter to take her to the shop. And she's seen a video with me, one of my guys who is a stroke survivor. And she messaged me saying, he's older than me. It was Tommy. He's older than me. He's more disabled than me. And if he did that in that video, I need to do more. So then she said, sent me a video and she went, I'm gonna walk to the shop today by myself. 15 years I've lived at this flat. I'm gonna do it today. I seen the video. My heart was doing this because I'm thinking, I don't know this lady. I don't know what stability, I don't know nothing about this lady. She sent me another video. 3 hours later, she did it. She went to the shop, got herself some Jaffa cakes, some dog food, a newspaper. She walked by herself. Got a bit tired, she posted up on a chair, on a bench, chilled, got her breath back, got back up and she two-toesed it back up to the shop. And then she came back and she sent me a video, just really emotional. And I felt so good that a little video that I did has now inspired that lady to do something so life-changing for herself. And I think that's the key, people doing things for themselves without feeling that it's about being selfish or anything. Do things for yourself. I think that's a really, really, really important message that I've learned in the last couple of years, that these videos and my work, thank God, and I'm very grateful of inspiring people to do things for themselves, which is really important.
It's infectious as
yes,
well.
Definitely.
You know, our strap line is inspire change, but it's not just like a gimmick, like we do mean it. Your clients who are, you know, throwing that hook, that inspires somebody else. Like it genuinely does, you know, to see somebody's strength to go through what they're going through and to still do that is inspiring to somebody else. Maybe somebody who's in a similar position, like she was inspired by one of your clients or one of your classes, you know. That is applicable to everybody though. You know, if you're going out and doing something for yourself and somebody might be watching, this is the Inspire Change mission for me was kind of one of the reasons it was created is that I saw this guy who every single morning he'd go on the park at like 5 a.m. in the morning and he'd clean the park up. Big public park, didn't work there, just, you know, was just doing it because he wanted to clean the park up. And then one day he wasn't there and I noticed he wasn't there and he never came back. The park started to get messy. So I went over to the park and started cleaning it myself. And this guy who I don't even know had absolutely inspired me. And I think so many people, if you do something, I don't know why he was doing that, but if you do something for yourself that's got good intentions, can be so inspirational, especially when it's actions and not words. And I think with your clients, the growth that they're having through going through one of your sessions or, you know, doing some of the stuff that you do is absolutely amazing as well. You know, it's so inspiring to other people. The work that you do, the messages that you put out is so inspiring to other people. And I think, again, it comes back to that of doing it with good intentions, you know, giving without wanting to receive. That's another massive thing that I see you do all the time. Like, you'd probably do it if you had 10 followers or no followers or no Instagram. Well, you was doing it with...
I ain't doing nothing different now.
Yeah.
Even now, exactly, with a million followers and the stuff, I ain't doing nothing different now to what I did 20 years ago.
Well, this is the most last minute episode we've ever done. You guys have just finished an event, the arena, like incredible event. You've literally just stepped off stage, stepped into this room, so thank you so much. We have Lewis House to thank for this. Like, it was, you know, a super last minute introduction. I thought, I don't know how I'm going to prepare for this, and then you introduced me to your wife and I thought, there's the truth right there. And I asked her, could you give me a moment that was
that describes Irwin that people wouldn't have seen, you know, on socials, that people don't see, like all of those smaller moments. It's not just like this grandiose, you know, on stage, you know, people see the stuff you do. It's incredible, but a small moment. She said, yeah, there was a moment when I was pregnant with Aaron and it was in Dallas. It was chucking it down with rain. And there was a guy who needed help on the side of the road and you stopped on the side of the road and you went out and helped him. I mean, I'd love to talk about that specific moment, but also why help somebody, you know, that, and it, I know, I don't want to say, I feel like I know why, but like for the audience, like, why would you help somebody like that?
It's such a textured question and I'm not even fully sure how to answer it. But the other day I saw this person on this story mowing a person's lawn that couldn't mow their own lawn. And I actually had this like visceral experience inside of me going, I love the moments I get to do things like that. The other day I was telling you, we were driving, me and Kim, and I said, oh, right here in this corner, it's where there was like this 90-year-old couple, actually a Jewish couple from somewhere like Poland. And I could tell they were like waiting for the bus, but they were confused. And then he dropped something. So I just pulled my car over and got out and helped them pick everything up. And then I said, where they're going? And they said, we're going to catch the bus home. And I said, could I drive you home? And I put him in my car and I drove him to their house, got to talk to him. And I never told Kim, and I don't know if I ever told anyone. And, but it was like this moment, it's not for anyone else. It's just really because it makes me the person I want to be. And because I get the privilege of doing big things and people think that's what makes you. But I feel like the only thing that earns me the right to be in the big stage is that I'm true to who I am in the small stage, you know? So yeah, but that was early on in our marriage and I don't know if I deserve any credit for that one because it was pouring down rain and it was flooding in the streets and I'm having to drive these kids home to their houses. Kim was 9 months pregnant. She sees this homeless guy and says, you know, did you see the man? And I didn't see him. I couldn't even see the street. And she goes, you need to help him. And I said, I got to take these kids home that she made me take home. I did not want to take them home. So I drive all these kids home. I didn't want to get wet, you know? And we're driving back. She goes, you got to help the man. And I said, if I see him, I'll help him. I never saw him. And she goes, there he was. There he was. Did you see him? And I said, honey, I don't know if there was a man there, you know? And she goes, you need to go help him. I said, I don't want to turn around in this flood. You know, let's just go home. And she goes, we need to help him. Well, it's the royal we. She was pregnant. She did not mean her and the baby. She meant me, you know? And as she watched one of her servants go and serve her purpose, we turned around and I saw this homeless guy. He had a broken cart, shopping cart that he had stolen. And it stopped floating all over the water. It was nasty. And I jumped out of the car and I went and restructured his shopping cart and picked up all the stuff. And that was the worst part. It was just so nasty. And I'm a clean freak. And I'm picking it all, putting it in his cart. And then the moment I finished, it stopped raining. And that's how I know there was a God, because I could almost like hear like God laughing, you know, going, I let it rain until, you know, you were done. And then it stopped. And I remember getting back in the car, driving home, and Kim starts crying. I mean, she starts sobbing, and she is 9 months pregnant, so you have to give her some, you know, leeway there. And I said, why are you crying? Did I not do it the right attitude? You know, like, you know, why the tears? And she said, that's the greatest message you've ever given. And I had mixed feelings. You know, did I want the greatest message I would ever give to be in front of one person and maybe two if you count him, but he wasn't observing the message, you know? And it just resonated in my soul. And I just thought, I need this like to be the measure of who I am as a person. And frankly, like through our life, like, I'm going to jettison this even to Aaron, because years ago, I was at this event in Orlando and the event got canceled. I think I was supposed to speak to like 10,000 people and a hurricane came crashing through. It was a pretty severe one. People were having to flood out of Tampa and people didn't have a place to stay. And we're staying at this hotel and we have some of our team there. I asked the hotel, you know, why aren't you, you know, are you going to let people stay here? And they said, we're not authorized to let people who don't have a shelter stay here. We were really poor, but I had good credit. So I took my credit cards and I paid for every single hotel room in that hotel. And I said, fill the hotel with families who have no place to stay. I didn't know how I would ever pay the tens of thousands of dollars that we put on our credit card that day. And we never told anyone. And this is probably one of our first public conversations about that. The reason I'm telling you that is because we've tried to live a life that was authentically generous and sacrificial. And I love that I get to do that. Like, for me, the more successful I've become in my life or the more wealth I've had in my life, I just love that I get to do more good in my life. And it's not for anything in public. 90% of everything we ever do that might help someone, no one will ever know. And I think that's really important. And Aaron will never tell you this, but he's a really successful entrepreneur. He owns two homes. In one home he has rented it out to a family who can't afford the mortgage. So he pays probably 35% of the mortgage for them so they can have a home. And then right now in his other house, he has someone staying with him who needs a place to live and who came here from England. That's who he's been all of his life. That's who our daughter Mariah is. They're the most generous human beings I've ever known. And I remember when Aaron's moving to New York, and he would never tell you this. Like, he writes a check to Mosaic for $6,000, which is every penny he had, before he left because he wanted to leave with an act of generosity, not even knowing how he's going to generate his next paycheck. It's just, for us, who we believe we're supposed to be.
I mean, first of all, both of you, you're crazy. Because, right, because it's amazing. Just before I get started, what a pride to have your children like that. You know, both your children to be like yeah. that. You know, a testament to you and Kim. Unbelievable. But you're crazy, you know, going, giving away everything you had, but then it came back to you. And kindness, you know, it was a giving in kindness. And I feel like it always does come back to you. It will in some way. You'll be looked after somehow. I personally think we've spoken about this so many times between my brothers and my sisters, is small acts of kindness do change the world. Like, it is those small things. And I think it comes from within. It changes people. That feeling you get from giving somebody food or helping somebody out when it's raining, whatever it is, whatever small thing it is, and to have no expectation of that giving is the most rewarding thing. I wish, and if we was to put out like a highlight on this or something, like, I wish that the audience would just give that a go. There's nothing more rewarding.
I hope you're enjoying this video so far. Today's video was sponsored by Huel, a quick, affordable, nutritionally complete source of food that has everything that your body needs. I've been using these guys for the past 2 years. When I fly around the world, we host the show, we try and break the world record stone, and we just have busy lives. To know that I can reach in my bag and have everything from the nutrition, the protein source, the vitamins in a bottle has been an absolute game changer and helps fuel these projects. So if you want to find out more about Huel, head to the link in the description. Let's dive back into the video.
Weather is a great example to say, it's cold, it's hot, it's snowy, it's rainy, I don't want to do it today. It's a great example. How do people find, and why should people find, a purpose and something meaningful, especially finding something meaningful for other people as well? Why should they find that?
Because already here, your life already here. You don't cherish yourself. Even make heart, I give my heart to you. You don't take it. You have everything from you. You have to stand tall, look at yourself. You're here already. Life is choices. You choose to go left, you choose to go right. You choose to go up, you choose to slide down your life. We don't go that way. We go up. Live life by to make wonderful examples, good examples for other people. Yeah. For other people, to help other people. And to help other people to make this world a better place. This world needs help. You see, now, in the 21st century, you see now, in the 21st century, around the world. You see how many homeless, how many poor people, how many people misunderstanding, how many people disconnecting. We need to bridge them together. We need to, you know, live life purposely to make wonderful examples. Yeah, to encourage other people, to help other people, to speak out. Let people hear your voice. Yeah, give a heart to other people.
This goes on to my next point really well, yeah. Because I think there's an idea of when people look at Shaolin warrior monks or monks is that we get rid of all possessions, we have no materialistic requirements or anything like that. We should, and the word ambition and to have ambitions and monks don't mix well in the same conversation. But then we're here in New York, in your Shaolin Temple, which you have multiple locations around the world now. I mean, there's so many different feats of achievement that you've got and must have had some ambition to it. So like, I'd love to hear your opinion on like, is it okay to have ambition? Is it okay to, can that mix with Shaolin, the Shaolin teachings? And for yourself, do you have ambition to achieve certain goals?
Ambition, ultimate goal to achieve in my precious life, to help as many people as possible. I do my best, I do my part. Everything from you, peace from you, understanding from you, love from you, you have to spread out. Yeah, you have to do that. Yeah, that's why I said, in people's brains, monk, knowledgeable people, outstanding people. You have the knowledge. You have the knowledge. Step out to help people. Why stay in a monastery? Help people. Yeah. Help, stay there for what? You have the knowledge, people give you respect. You don't want to share. You don't want to spread knowledge to other people. Why you live life? First, let people understand that monk means. Monk, one word, but in Chinese, two words, 和尚. 和尚, monk, to make peace, to make a wonderful relationship with anybody, with the place you live. Everyone treat just like your home, like your temple. Everywhere you go to build a wonderful relationship, to share the peace, love, respect, courage, with others, yeah, to help others. That's a monk. Yeah, monk is just let people give you respect for what? Yeah, you cannot help them. You know what I mean? Just go some place. Don't stay in the monastery. Yeah, so, don't let people give you respect. You're not spreading love, respect, knowledge to others. Doesn't make sense.
For people who are who don't do this, who don't get out and have that mindfulness, without an awareness, how do they take this step?
You know, people ask me, you know, like, why would I do this? Like, why would I go and practice awareness? Everything works for me. I'm fine. But you drink and then you curse and you act out. You hate on others. Your life isn't going the direction you wanted to go, but yet here you are. You know, because you don't need it until you need it. You don't need meditation until you need it. But what happens if I tell you? What if I say, if I teach you meditation and you implement that into your life, that you could be a better person, that you could be more successful, would you not take that skill and put it into your life? See, a lot of people, they don't see it because they live in this artificial world. Artificial world, social media, television, artificial world of listening. What somebody they don't even know you have to say about you across the world. They care about that because they live in this false reality. Separate ourselves from what is actual truth, and what is actual truth is this. this is actual truth, but yet we rather live in our false narrative of what somebody else's believe. Never even met you, and they have to say this about you, and you that's your reality? If you ground yourself in what is true, which is this, then it doesn't matter what everybody else have to say, right? Because you're grounding yourself out in what's actual truth, and that is beauty. And that's why it's so important to connect with nature, because we came from Mother Nature. And one day we will go back to Mother Nature. That's the circle of life. We are but a cell on this earth. We are a living organism to Mother Nature. Right? Negative people are so poisonous with their words. They're so selfish in the way that they just throw out words insulting others. You know, they think that that makes them feel good, but in the end, they're embracing what is ugly. And they're embodying what is ugly, and that's hate, right? So they're going to look at the world with hateful eyes. Insulting others, insulting everybody else because they believe that they are perfect. And in the end, none of us are perfect, and that we should help one another. So live in what is beautiful. So when I say that is, you can only do that by practice. You practice. So this morning, if you practice gratitude and you're grateful for the day, and you're grateful for the morning, you're grateful for the friendship, you're grateful for the food, and you're just saying thank you for everything, will you not be grateful for your life and fulfilled? In today's world, we expect it. It's an expectation that others need to serve you. We have expectations that, you know, my coffee, my food should be delivered this way, or otherwise I'm going to be pissed off. That's the expectation you place on yourself, ruining your day with a word. So my word is this. Thank you. Express what is beautiful, gratitude.
You know when you say about, I guess that there's a destiny and there's almost like we're destined to have this path. Mm. Do you think there's clues along the way?
There must be, yeah. There.
With us, like, I feel like there's been certain things that's like, well, this is just too, it's too mind blowing. Mm. Like you say, like, Cushy's mum is, for, you know, like, and then you've met in the middle, yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, there has to be, doesn't there? I mean, I think it's your gut, when your gut kind of, like, because, again, how do you describe what a gut instinct that, like, is it right, is it wrong? I don't know, but it feels good in my
sometimes
gut.
Sometimes it feels, yeah, it just feels right.
I don't know, because you'll know, won't you, if I go back to, like, again, like, where we are now, the business aspect. Like, we didn't start this until we met you. Like, it was like, you said, you're like, oh, I need to do that, and then the growth will happen. And so then, you know, then we went to YouTube, then we went to do this, and we went to do that. And now, like, we've got a guy that works with us, Ewan, who's, like, we've been best friends since we're 8 or 9 years old. So was I destined to meet him back then, and then destined that he's now working like the business manager and stuff, and now since he's come on, the business has stepped up more, and like it's so, again, coincidences. So you either think it's a coincidence or it's part of that journey, part of that path, and I'm probably on the latter, and I think it's part of the creator's plan, whatever that is. But it's mad when you think about it, because there is so many clues. But maybe we're not just all awake or able to interpret them as clues. Maybe it's just, ugh, that never happened to me. That's too good to be true. Like, that's how my kind of philosophy or my mental state was when I started Strongman, and I'm going to be stuck in oil rigs till I'm 65, and I'm just some idiot from Scotland. I'm not going to ever win or do anything big. I still think that, mate. I still think, like, certain aspects of that still kind of lie in with me, but I'm more open to seeing things for what they are now, I think. Whether that's clues, or maybe that's me just high off life, or high off love, high off cold water, I don't know.
I love to look back and connect the dots and, like, think how just how beautiful or crazy
life is. And when I look back through just us meeting, the chance of, I think it might have been Tom picked up the message that we sent, then we met you guys, then we went for breakfast. Yeah. And if you was to stack the odds of all of this happening up until this point and how it's had such, for me and my family, how it's had such a positive impact on my life and our lives and hundreds of thousands of people, you know, that was down to such a chance happening. It's really crazy. Personally, it's changed my life. Like, you know, for many different reasons, but
like for all of us, I think it's like, I think when we met, Niamh was about 10 years old. So, it's mad to think, you know, that because you meet someone, like, you inspire us to do something, and then hopefully we inspire you. And it's like it's that domino effect. Okay, it's going to be a bit of a struggle. You got to take that chance. Ooh, don't know if you can take on someone full time. I'm still working away. I have to, like, initially had to pay the first like YouTuber with like my wages from work. I don't think I told Cushy that, but you know, it was like, if this doesn't work, we're probably not going to be able to pay the mortgage. Not the, you know. And it's like, it's a domino effect. Yeah. You don't do that, then this happens. And it could have been that rather than the good, you know, but because you're with good people and you've got good people you trust and you're inspired by them and you know it's love, like that's pure.
And that's where I think there's the clue or the gut feeling along the way is like, when we sat over breakfast, I've said this too many times, but you two sat there and said, this is exactly what's going to happen. Yeah. Believe me, this is what we're gonna do. And I was like, I believe you 100%. We'll do this. And then it happened.
Miles, man. I don't know if we had that. I mean, we did believe.
I had the magic moment anyway. Yeah. It worked for me.
No, it worked. But said before, like, even if you just have like a small bit of self belief, if you're putting it out there, you're voicing it, you're telling someone. It's like when you're struggling, if you're telling someone, they're gonna listen, and then they're gonna take it, and then you can change that. So like, again, if you're voicing success or aiming for success by speaking about it, then the power of those words means something. Words mean something, you know? So if you're saying it to other people, you're not just in your room, like thinking in your head, you're voicing it.
Again, I think it's about finding the right people as well. Cause I don't think most people that I would explain my ideas or plans would believe me. And I think you and Tom straight away believed everything that we said, and you, everything that you said, I believed was, you know, you felt that was achievable for yourself. Just particularly on the stone lift that I've got planned, everybody I've told has said it's not possible, and you've not even questioned it once. Like, you know, we've laughed and giggled about it, but you've not even said like, "There's a will, there's a way, it'll happen," kind of thing. But like having a community around you that has that belief in you as well is really, really special and really important, I think, to build relationships like that for, especially for like aspiring entrepreneurs, businessmen, athletes, whatever it is, to have somebody around you that you can go, "I'm going to be the world champion." And they go, "Yeah, you got it.
Come on,
cheerlead you. I'm there. I've got you."
But then it's no surprise as well, because you've changed your kind of mindset now from, you know, that pain, that hate, that anger, whatever, and now it's love. And of course you can do that. Of course, if you love, you're doing that for love, man. That's powerful. Yeah. That's like the guy, the priest guy said, you know, love is always going to be more powerful than hate. And that's what we've got to realize. The more we love, the more we throw love out there, that's going to overcome hate, because of course it does. If someone's like hating, it's okay, man, it's fine, you know. Hate, it's fine, hate me, I love you. I love you, I know you can do that, I know you're capable. You went to the Arnold's and lifted that fucking heavy stone with no tacky and smashed it, mate. So you're saying you can't carry a 30 kilo, 40 kilo stone? I'll be with you the first journey, we'll carry the 80 kilo between us to Inverness, Tom will maybe come for a mile. You know, we'll get that done, that's fine. You know, that's an easy bit. Of course you can do that. The bodies of us are resilient. It's resilience. That's what it is. You know, I was talking about it the other day. Like, resilience is built into our body. Mm-hmm. Of course it is. We can survive so many. We can cut off our limbs and still survive, which is mad.
Yeah, that is mad, yeah.
So, of course you can carry the stone. And your mindset is strong. You can do that, mate. It's just, Like, why would I doubt you if you say you're going to do something? I didn't doubt you saying, let's make a documentary together. I didn't doubt you by saying you should take silent, you should, you know, I trust you and I believe you. And that's basically it. It's not hard. And I'm giving you love. I'm there. You've got so many powerful people around you that you won't fail if you set your mind to something. So I'm there for the journey. I might not do the whole thing with you. Maybe. I don't know. Kush might not be too happy if I...
I weighed this though. It was 95 kilos.
Was it 95
kilos?
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah, it'd be all right, yeah.
What weight are you now?
110, 115.
That's fair. It's not even your body weight. Yeah. Andrew, you can't carry a stone lighter than your body weight. Then. Come on. You know, you've seen those poor like ladies and whatever it is carrying the things.
Yeah, that's what I say. The way they carry that is genuinely what's inspired me to be able to carry it. Like, I think it's possible because of the way they carry those, you know, baskets or whatever they're carrying. Yeah.
And you're doing it for...
Yes, for a reason.
For
a
reason.
I've not really spoke about it actually on camera, but the goal is if we can take a stone from its natural resting place. I said this to you. We laughed about it, but... This, because it could go the wrong way, the message. But if we can take a stone from its natural resting place, 450 miles to Jacob's resting place, then if we can do that to get a headstone into for Jacob, then we should be able to get a headstone into the hands of parents that are also grieving as well. So hopefully it's received. I can articulate it well.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It shouldn't be that hard. If we can do this, it should be easy. Yeah.
Just wear the polo neck when you're taking people. But you can get anyone to believe you in that thing. No, it's a powerful message though, isn't it? It's because it shouldn't cost money. Like, you know, it's the same as a lot of stuff, isn't it? Like, we always put a cost on our health or on our mental health or on our, you know, well-being or whatever it is. And in reality, you know, those things shouldn't cost anything. You know, so if there's a family out there grieving for their kid and that, you know, I can't imagine that, but they're struggling to have a head. You know, there should be support there.
That's where I think like the connection to other people comes in, because like obviously for me, like I've felt that pain. So when I see someone go through it, I'm like, wow, I really want to help that person feel like they've got somebody with them. Yeah. And you know, if they can lean somewhat on somebody else. And if their process is to grieve with a stone, then that's the way they want to grieve. They want a headstone. And it's, I think that is, it all comes down to connection and making sure that, you know, if there is somebody suffering from whatever it is, that we're doing something to try and help them in some way.
You have to. Like, you're doing it through your videos, you're doing it through, you know, leading by example. Are we doing that with a stone carry? That's amazing, man, doing that. You know, but then, you know, then we have to say to people, right, if you are struggling, of course you're going to be struggling if you lose someone, if work's going bad, life's going bad, whatever. Excuse me, like, what is it that you have in your life to allow you to become better? You know, that's the thing. And it's not pills, it's not, like, material things, it's not, you know, quick one of material things as well. On Saturday night, the Prana, the head of the mantra group, was talking about mantra and what it means. And again, I don't want to butcher it, but I'll tell the example. Joy, like material joy, when you get some joy from a material thing, it doesn't last. You know, so he said, right, when you eat a plate of chips, that's amazing, you know, when you taste, oh, that plate's lovely. Okay, there's another plate. Oh, yeah, it's quite nice, yeah, another plate. That joy will end and it'll become hard. You don't want to have that anymore. But with a mantra, you can do that continuously and you're getting that same energy. Hare Krishna, like when you're hearing that vibrations, that takes you to ecstasy every time. You know, so it's everlasting. It doesn't stop giving you joy. When material things come into play, it's going to stop. It's not everlasting. And I think that is, oh, that's something good, man. Like when you can have that, like that feeling of like, no matter what it is, you can go to that place. You can, you know, breathe, you can go to that mantra, whatever it is that means something, and it resonates with you, and it gives you joy, it gives you ecstasy, it gives you like power, or whatever it is. And that I took that. I mean, again, that's something I took away from that night.
Wow, no, the way you've said that's amazing. Can mantra be anything? Could my mantra be what I want my mantra?
You can be whatever, as far as I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a mantra god. I'm just, again, I'm like very early on in my journey.
Yeah.
But like I, because I'm with Kushi's family, yeah. It's like a Hare Krishna based mantra. Yeah. But I believe a mantra can be anything you choose it to be.
Mm.
If it means something to you, if it resonates with you, if it gets you into that place of like.
Well, you were right though about things, you become numb to them.
Yeah.
Like there's only so many nice cars you can have or what, you know. Nice watches, money, it will have, you do become numb to it. That's, you know, it doesn't, maybe gives you the spark at the start, but you won't be happy the whole time. But I think you're right with a mantra.
Want to pick some of these subjects up later when we do a podcast, because there's people who have inspired me massively in popular culture and in sports, that like this mindset that you're talking about right now, like really, I've heard it from them too, and it's really interesting to hear you, but I'm really interested to hear your thoughts on it. Like people like Kobe Bryant, I don't know if you're a fan of basketball
player, yes.
But his mentality, the way in which you're speaking right now, like sings to that mentality massively. Muhammad Ali, we just said as well. So maybe we could pick it up later, but I do find it fascinating that it's in your training room. It's, and the fact that, you know, you excel in this, whether it's on social media or whatever it is, or in the philosophy, you excel in my opinion, on a level that I've not seen before. And, you know, that's not to sing to your praises or anything like that. It's just to say, like, you obviously have that mentality to put all that work in. Maybe it's something we can explore later as well. I get, this is something I want to explore later as well, a little bit more casually, but I'm interested within this conversation, when you talk about the fire inside, you know, you sit here very calm, and then we've seen some of the stuff you can do in the gym and in practice. And has growing up before you found the philosophies, and you know, when you started doing the training, did that ever become an issue, having that fire inside? Was it always contained under this philosophy?
I think I ended with that word performance, yeah? Let me just jump back. If you want to have two cars or two bikes and you want one of them to be faster, what you essentially want is one is supposed to be more performing than the other one. What do? You need an engine with more performance. How do you literally, what are the ways, for example, with an engine to increase the performance? Air intake. Air intake, why? More oxygen, more fire, more combustion. Same like with an oven. Right now, the bigger the house becomes, the more the oven needs to work, the more heat it needs to generate. How you do it, besides the fact of adding more wood? You need more air. We need more capacity. What do? When I want to start increasing the performance level of myself, number one, for example, eat more, but I need to have better capacity and better refined breathing mechanisms. And this is where it simply comes into the practices that are, for example, known as Qigong. Some people nowadays say Qigong, energy practice. Yes, it's correct, but sometimes you get lost with your energy. I don't know which type of energy. So breathing. Okay, for me, Qigong is simply the part of increasing the capacity of your lungs, which means once you inhale, you try to inhale as much as you can. This is the first level. And the second level is increasing your ability in adjusting also the oxygen, the air level inside of you. And now when you maybe watch later at, in the moment where we are doing our training, the more I start to sweat, the more different my breath has become. Very naturally. When you start running, why suddenly the body naturally draws in, wants to draw in more air? Because you are asking something from your body, performance, and in order for your body to deliver it, he needs fire now to burn. So this is the moment where also the air, the inhalation, the exhalation starts to increase. And because it's getting tiring, so you're getting tired, what is it essentially that keeps the fire going? So, and this is now the special thing. Either you have an iron will, then the amount of fire that you can produce is super, super high. If you by yourself have an iron will, then you can just keep going like a machine. Okay? If you don't have an iron will, you need something that is giving you, that is like substituting, for example, this iron will. I have things that give me iron will. For me, it's a vision. I have vision for something greater. Yeah, you might say it's hope. Or it can also be, you can think about a person. Sometimes you meet a person, you just need to call them up in the mind, they give you fire. You know? So this is the way. What keeps the fire going? What keeps you yourself? What is it that keeps you, make you push on harder? Trust, hope, vision, purpose. You know? And this is where then things come together. And this is the type of fire where I say, when you know about these things, even angriness, suffering, loneliness, feeling used, feeling betrayed, all of these things create fire. The question is now, in which direction are you allowing this fire to develop? To burn you on the inside? Or are you able to channel, but it's exactly the same type of fire, to channel it and use it for something that is not eating you, to do it in order for you to grow, in order for you to keep going. So, and in the past, 100%, a great source of my fire has been frustration, anger, loneliness. This was my inspiration of the fire. That's why many, many times I've spent alone. Doing what? Training. And this is the reason, maybe, why today things just look different. Things have not always been in harmony. Yeah, the question is, how good are you able to regulate the fire inside of you?
Thank you for sharing that. Like, I think that's absolutely incredible to have that insight. The battle of channeling that energy, that fire energy, is there a reason or a difference between using like the energy of like love and it coming from that fire coming from a positive place, like you say, you think of somebody, or it coming from a place of like hurt and revenge? Is there a distinction? Is it a better energy to use?
Yes. If you draw your force, if you draw your motivation, if you draw the fire from love, let's say like this. For me, when I think about this word, it's an expanding force. So love by nature, it's an energy which anyway it's expanding. It's expanding beyond yourself. Yeah, which means it's automatically embracing more. So embracing more meaning it's easier. The energy is there, which makes it easier to bring something new into your life. This is how I see it. That is like the energy. And when you combine this now with your training, literally means if you have this type of energy, it's easier. It becomes easier to bring something new into your life. Now, the problem with anger is, or with hate, or this other type of energy is that the nature of this energy, it's not to integrate someone, to integrate something. The nature of that force is now you're going to fight against the world. Now you're going to mess up everything. Now it's like you are the hurt one and now you're going to show them all. This is the nature of the anger energy. Yeah, it is the energy that makes you like, okay, that mountain won't move. I'm going to make it move. It's this type. Okay, so, and what means if you, it gives you energy, but the energy, if you just use it without disciplining yourself, without properly thinking about it, what you are going to create is separation. You will have the power to do it, but what the consequence is going to be, you're going to separate something. So. And there it is the hard part. How do you transform now this anger, which carries a huge potential, but still transform it in such a way that it becomes an expansive and integrating force? And there's only one thing that can help with this. The connection. The compassion.
But being driven by anger and not enough can only get you so far. It helped me succeed a lot, but it didn't help me feel like I was really fulfilled. And it was never enough. I would achieve all the goals that I wanted to achieve in sports,